This is Hades Ham Journal number 5. Hades Ham Journal takes place in an extra-societal warehouse community called the Home for Aging Mutants, a tribe of artists, mystics, and activists with no use for organized anything. Your humble narrator is a former defense techno-yuppie, fallen on interesting times, and looking for her next incarnation under the crumbling stones of a city past its sell-by date. This episode is called The Tough Go Shopping. Call it backsliding, wimping out, whatever. I deserve to go shopping again. I paid more than I ever expected for this. I finally managed to get my check from Weaselface for my noble labors on his bug counting contract. He came up with one story after another and disappeared every now and then, until I convinced him of something he was obviously trying to ignore, that I used to be very highly paid to design the most terrifying explosives in the free world, and I knew where he lived. I just wasn't in the mood to deal with any more crapola. Never mind that I spent the whole day looking for cockroaches and other icky things I usually avoid. Never mind that I had to work with an airheaded, motor-mouthed renegade debutante named Mitzi, whose voice made me break out in hives. That all really didn't matter. There was this guy, you see. Yes, there's so much in life that just reduces to that: carbon, oxygen, and hormones. It had been years since I'd met anyone who could even wake me up in that sense, and when I did, Mitzi waltzed off with him. Lars and Mitzi make a picture-perfect couple, both young, both blonde, and both just too cute to live. Maybe Declan was right and I was wrong, and Lars is really just a vacuous post-pubescent albino. Mitzi is probably more his speed, which, if I were to be uncharitable, I would say isn't exactly shattering the sound barrier. But it's really irritating to think, not that I could be wrong, I've always had sort of questionable taste, but that Declan, who is always either drunk, hungover, or asleep and really annoying in any of these states, could be right. Declan hasn't been too incessant with the I told you so's, though. Even though Lars and Mitzi are around all the time and he's had plenty of opportunities. Maybe there's some sympathy deep in the inky depths of his whiskey-soaked bones after all. Or maybe he's just got better things to pay attention to. I wish I did. You know how some young lovers just don't pay attention to anything but each other and sit around counting the radial lines in each other's irises for an indefinite period of time? Repulsive as it is, I wish Lars and Mitzi were like that. Because when Mitzi isn't hanging all over Lars, she keeps tagging around after me. Why, I don't know. But it makes it awfully tough to loathe someone properly when she thinks you're the big sister that she never had or something. I know. I need to quit ragging and take a break. If she finds out that I'm going somewhere that she'll want to go to, which is not what I had in mind. So I called Rodan over. He's the 8-year-old street urchin who adopted us and a shining example of a workable attitude. He doesn't remember his parents or what his name used to be, but he's gotten along fine anyway. I look at him and I just can't believe the crap I get upset about. Hey Rodan, you want to go shopping with me? I'll get you something. I'll get something anyway. Sure, I'll go. Rodan, will you promise me you won't steal anything from decent people? Oh, okay. What about jerk-offs? All right, don't get caught. Just cover for me if Mitzi asks where we're going. Sure enough, just as we were heading for the door, Mitzi emerged. Hey, you guys, where you going? It's our turn to rummage through the dumpsters for more food, Rodan piped up. Yuck, well, see you later. Well, that was pretty good, I said, as we started down a busy, breezy street. There was tar and salt and soot in the air, but it felt really fresh to me right then. I had my cleanest clothes on. I'd washed them in a bucket at the car wash, where we sometimes sneaked in to take showers at night. I couldn't iron them, but they'd hung out okay on the line. I put my hand in my pocket with the money, reassuring myself that it wasn't going anywhere. I hadn't been in a supermarket for almost 2 months. I expected to feel sort of weird, but I wasn't prepared for the numbing sensory assault it was. Huge, unstable-looking piles of various things towered and teetered over our heads. The garish labels all clashed with each other like thousands of shrill voices screeching, "Don't buy them, buy me!" Hordes of dazed subhumans meandered down the aisles, each absorbed in a personal quest for the whitest teeth, the healthiest candy, the artichoke with a heart of gold. I could look at each of them and instantly know what his or her personal trip was, and I didn't want to, so I mostly looked at the floor. Through it all, the Muzak dripped and slithered like a lethal syrup on a gigantic Venus flytrap. Was that really a Henry Mancini arrangement of Anarchy in the UK? I found the stuff I was looking for somehow, and we got out of there. Once out in the air again, wiping the cold sweat off my forehead, Rodan pulled at my sleeve. "Want some of this?" he said, producing a deli sandwich I definitely didn't buy. I don't see how he gets away with that stuff. I try to keep an eye on him. "Yeah, thanks," I sighed, taking a bite and handing it back. In and out of the liquor store, and picked up a new blouse and pants at Goodwill for hardly anything. Then down to Loathing Street, past the Cyanide Club, and over to that little record store I'd seen. Its name was Raxowax, and the sign in the window said, "Custom cassettes while you wait." I said one word to Rodan on the way in. "Don't." There was another customer talking to the couple at the counter when we came in, so I just went right to the bins. There was an Anorexia Nouveau I'd never heard. Declan had said Blue Bug's Blood was pretty good. Shards of conversation up front drifted over. "No, I don't want to tape them," the customer was saying. "I just want to buy the record."
"Our tapes are very good," the guy said. "We use the best metal tape, the latest in recording technology, and it's cheaper than buying the record."
"But I like records better."
"Are you sure? We have a colored copier in back. We can make you high-quality copies of the cover and lyric sheet to go with your tape."
"I have an $800 turntable at home. I have to use it for something." "Look, this is a record store, isn't it?"
"Well, yeah, I guess, as long as you promise to take good care of it. Change your cartridge, use a disc cleaner, always demagnetize."
"Sure, sure, I promise."
"Okay, $15.25, please. Here's your change and your receipt."
"Thanks."
"Be sure and come back and tell us how it's doing."
"Bye,"
the woman clerk said wistfully. And I got the feeling she wasn't talking to the customer. "Well, hi there," I said, turning to me. "Can we help you with anything?"
"Yeah," I said. "I'm interested in these two for starters. Don't worry, I just want them taped. Tape recorders are easier to find where I shop."
"Excellent choice," the guy beamed.
They were both wearing the kind of orange jumpsuits favored by collectors of toxic waste. His label said Dan and hers said Ginny. "You guys really don't like to sell the records, do you?"
"Well, records are our whole life. The ones in here are like our children. And so many people just abuse records. It breaks our hearts the way they treat them. When handled properly, they could have so many years of enjoyment. Well, feel free to look around all you want."
"Oh, by the way," Jimmy said as I headed back, "if you happen to see a 5-foot black racer snake back there, let us know. He's one of our security snakes, and he didn't come in for a saucer of milk this morning. We're afraid he might get into the tarantula cage if he gets too hungry."
Ooh, she had my full attention. "Don't worry," I told her emphatically. "If I see a snake that big, you will know right away."
I walked very carefully around the end of a bin, glanced at the wall, and stopped short. There was a poster of Skip, Scotty, and Damion, those guys from the Home for Aging Mutants who are always pounding on huge, incomprehensible hunks of metal.
"Wow," I said. "Did you find a snake?"
Dan asked hopefully. "No, it's just, I know these guys. They live in my building. I didn't know they were famous."
you know where the dust-to-dust guys are now? That's great! Are they gearing up for any more performances? I don't know. Nothing seemed really coherent over there lately. Well, we'll have to tell CM. He'll be so excited. He saw them in that performance at the Trinity Nuclear Site, and then they just disappeared. He brings us and some of his other friends over to watch the video every Friday night. Who's CM?
CM Cartwright. If anybody asks him what the CM stands for, he always says Cookie Monster. He gave us most of our equipment to start the store with. I'm sure he'd put up something to help Dust to Dust perform again if they needed it.
Hey, I can let him know. They sort of don't have a phone, and I can't really give out the address, but how about if I talk to him and they'll call over here?
Oh, that'll work. Here, have one of our cards. It's black on black, so you sort of have to tilt it in the light to read it.
Whoa, Rodan yelled.
Exciting, huh? Ginny said.
No, I just found the snake.
Next time, a conference with Cookie Monster. We'll be there, unless they find out.